Yes, look at that. It is nine. It is Thursday. So, of course, it's UK Cowboys time. Lord, you're muted, just so you know. I can get Paul off. There we are. Yeah, how are we doing, Scottish number one and two?
Hey, all right. Can't complain.
Yeah, it's been a long week so far. One of my colleagues is off ill, so I've been doing her job as well as mine. So I'm enjoying sitting down at the moment and get to talk about the Cowboys as well. So,
yay! Yes. Yeah, we are here. It's another draft show, but we're going to go a slightly different way today because there's been quite a lot of news at the moment circulating the Dallas Cowboys, certain players, contract talks. So we're going to go into that and then we'll do a little bit of draft talk at the end of all of this. So first of all, guys, let's talk about the big news, right? So I put a post up, so it reaffirmed kind of what we was talking about behind the scenes when it came out with Micah Parsons. So a lot of people were complaining, bad mouthing the Cowboys front office, and I'm always behind it. If the front office make a mistake or they make a bad decision, let's call them out. 100% always on that. But also what I will do is I'll call a spade a spade. So yeah, a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, this is going to piss Micah Parsons off. And, you know, they've designated Micah Parsons as a defensive end when he plays linebacker. And it saved them $3 million in the process, or just shy of. What's this going to do? And I going back, and I get your guys' opinions on this, that it's not actually the Dallas Cowboys, it's the league. So under the CBA, they set A, what the price is. So because Micah is been to two or more Pro Bowls, he will get the fifth-year option is the franchise tag of his position. 87% of his snaps were played at defensive end, so they designated him defensive end. Now, I've got another take on this, but tell me, guys, what you think on this, first of all.
It's kind of like, well, Micah. So on you go, Lon, on you go.
No, I mean, all I was going to say is that if he's got any beef with anybody, it should be Dan Quinn for using him as a defensive end. I mean, you know, I think it's quite interesting that obviously linebacker is actually has a bigger figure than defensive end, but that's mostly because of the prevalence of the 3-4 in this league at the moment. That your outside linebackers are your edge defenders.
Yep.
And, you know, as a result of that, they're the ones that are garnering all the money, the TJ Watts, the, you know, okay, Bosa and all that, you know, but, you know, Micah is going to sit there patiently at the moment. He knows that he's at least got this $22 million, is it, I think, or something like that.
Something like that.
That if he plays on next year, he can hold the Cowboys to ransom on that. Uh-huh. But, you know, on the basis of what he's earning at the moment, you know, it's a financial step up that, you know, for a start, it's fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's basically guaranteeing his family an income for the rest of their life, sort of thing, anyway. Mm-hmm. And he will get the money if it's not from the Cowboys because of, you know, scheme fit this year or whatever, he'll still get it in, you know, when he does become a free agent and goes off somewhere else. So it's big news at the moment, but, you know, ultimately he is going to get his money. He is going to reset the market and, you know, fair play to him. So
go on, Paul.
Yeah, just kind of adding on what Lauren just kind of said there. Like, if Parsons was to be annoyed with somebody, it should be Dan Quinn for putting him in that position. And also, just kind of like, okay, how's defensive end pretty much kind of slightly devalued in a way compared to in terms of the CBA or that type of stuff? Like, so it's like I'm making more plays at a more position against the quarterback, etc. Why is this kind of... So I can... If I was Parsons, I'd be a wee bit slightly annoyed, but there's not much can be done about it. That's it. If he's been playing defensive end, he wants to play defensive end. He just needs to follow the set by the rules by the NFL. Yeah. Simple as.
I mean, like, you know, the comment that I made in there is that very simply, like, so if I'm Micah Parsons, I'm just going to play complete devil's advocate on it. So I'm going to go, okay, you believe me to be a defensive end. That's how you're labeling me. Fine. Yeah. So when it comes to contract negotiations, the first bold, italic, and underlined word is at the top of the contract is going to be defensive end, and we're going to discuss it from there.
Yep.
That's how I would do it. That's exactly how I play it. And I'd just be like, listen, you can figure out what you want to do position-wise with me, but going forward now, in future contracts, we're talking about my contract as a pass rusher, as a defensive end. And that is how it's going to go and how it's going to stay. So, you know, in one sense, though, it's kind of like everything's forced against his hand. And I think what makes it so finicky and why it puts like this salty taste in fans' mouths is because it's awkward because Micah Parsons plays this sort of lopsided way of playing. He's in the box. He's at the defensive line. He's playing as a pass rusher. He's kind of playing from the two-point stance at times. He's playing from the A gap, playing from the B gap, playing as a wide nine. And you see all these different various positions that he's playing from. So then you look then at the Pro Bowl, and he goes to the Pro Bowl marked as a linebacker, which is a bit strange then when you think about how the league has towered him. But fine, fair enough. But, you know, when you're looking at snap count, and how the numbers, it tallies up with what they're saying. But then you look at all of that, and fans then turn around and they say, oh, this is the Cowboys penny pinching. They're finding a way to make it cheaper for them. But is that it's the not, Cowboys
it's not their fault. It's just the NFL how they've set the rules. Essentially, yep. And how they set the cap allocated those positions based on contracts in the CBA and that. So it's not the Cowboys' fault. Cowboys must be like, oh well, that's actually better for us. But we hadn't had Stephen and Jerry's, and we didn't have to do a single thing. For once, we can actually not blame the front office for being cheap. You know.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys front office, the layman is lambasting Jerry and Stevenson, that they're penny pinching and all that. But as you say, Mike, it's laid down in the CBA within the however many thousands of pages and however many millions of clauses that are in that CBA contract. You know, there is a flow chart that, you know, he'd be on a lot less if he hadn't gone to two Pro Bowls. He'd be on a lower level anyway for defensive end or whatever position you classify him as. Because he's been to those two Pro Bowls, three in actual fact, you know, he's qualifying to the next level up, and he's getting this transition tag as opposed to the fifth-year option. It's more than what he would be getting, but, you know, ultimately, again, it's... within the clause, it dictates that he gets this. So,
yeah,
just a wee shout out to Joe, who's actually watching the show right now. And we see there's quite a few people actually watching the show. So, if you want to get your comments in, folks, tell us what you think about this whole thing with Micah Parsons. Be sure to go to our YouTube and just comment from there. But yes, Chris likes a Twitter, etc. You can comment on it if you want to make some comments onto the show, please. Go by our YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, you can comment from there. It's just we don't see them on the system.
Yeah, we just don't see them. Yeah.
Go on, mate.
I was just extending what you were just saying there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is an awkward one. And, like, I think as well, because the Cowboys fan base, after what happened in the playoffs with the 49ers, that everybody is still so upset about that and so disheartened and demoralized that then they hear the comments of Jerry Jones saying, we're all in this season. And I think it's layered this. So he says we're all in. Then he sort of tracks back from that in the combine and is like, no, you misunderstand. And then what happens then is we have this news come out about Micah Parsons. And then the fans go, oh, here we go again. And I think it's just it's that. But as I say, I think you've got to call a spade when it's there. But you've also got to be like, look, we've got to report it the right way. That this isn't something the Cowboys have done. It's just been put forth in the CBA. It's written in the rules, and that's just how it's gone. It's just unfortunate. And I think because Micah Parsons is such a polarizing player and he's so important to the Cowboys in everything that they do, defense and particularly on offense because of how much he affects the game, that when you hear then that, oh, they've tried penny pinching, it's magnified more so again. Yeah. I don't know what you guys think.
I think you've just kind of nailed it in the coffin there, Mike. I don't really have much else to add on to that, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, let's move on to the next one. This is particularly interesting. I don't know what you guys have seen, but at the moment, Dak Prescott, so important contract talks coming on this season. Yeah. Very important.
What contract talks if you go by Jane Slater? There hasn't
exactly. What contract talk? What contract talk?
What do you guys make of that then? Give me your thoughts. That the fact that even Dak Prescott has said, like, look, there hasn't been any talks yet.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I will say, though, this whole thing, like, and I'm going to jump to a different quarterback here, but the whole thing with the whole Trey Lance situation now is going to play a massive factor into Dak's contract now, I think. Because, I've seen rumors that we could probably get picks for Trey Lance and stuff like that, but we're kind of using Trey Lance to get, or maybe even, like, there's been rumors of another quarterback somewhere in the draft to actually kick up Dak's talk to try and get him signed on a deal as quickly as possible. So I've seen multiple rumors. So, like, there's been rumors where, like, and this sounds like if Cowboys were to do this, I think we all would be absolutely fuming if we were to decide to go quarterback in the first round. That would be that would be ridiculous, right? Yeah. That would be ridiculous, right? I know, and your reaction just said it all, right?
Yes,
but in order, like, say, if the rumor mill was to start growing up, then obviously Dak might feel a bit under pressure and his agent, blah blah blah. It's like, oh, you really serious for them getting another quarterback? I was like, yeah, well, we've not seen a new contract, blah 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 blah. It's like, might take him under his wing, like, do the whole Jordan Love thing, like that's what this, like, it's pure chaos in the media right now. Yeah. So, yeah. And I can see Joe's comment. He's laughing his ass off, and so am I. Like, from what I've seen on social media, it's absolutely ridiculous. But in terms of Dak's contract, like, even the way the situation is right now, he's not going anywhere. Obviously, because he's tied down. Like even if we were to cut him, it's a massive, massive hit on the cap. Yeah. So that's not going to happen. He's going to be a quarterback this year, and is it next year as well? Is it 2 years?
No. This is it. Next year, he's got two voidable years, which if he's not got a contract by this time next year, so the start of the league year next year, then those void years automatically become a dead cap hit, much like Tyron Smith's $6 million at the moment.
I see. Right. Yeah.
Now, the way to look at it is actually, if you actually pick up Trey Lance's fifth year option, again, that's about $22 million. The 36 million or so that is Dak's voidable years as dead money, and the $22 million that you'd be paying Trey Lance actually equate to pretty much what you're paying Dak Prescott this year. So, you know, again, this could be Jerry's idea of being all in, is that at the moment Mike McCarthy's on a 1 year deal. Mike Zimmer, it's been announced, is on a one-year deal. Uh-huh. C.D. Lamb at the moment is on a fifth-year option. He's on a one-year deal. All right. You know, all of this sort of thing. If it doesn't work this year, you can basically let Dak out the building. You go with Trey Lance for a year, see what Trey Lance is like as a quarterback, and then you maybe put draft pick in next year as well and have him sit behind Trey Lance for a year. And then you go forward with that in 2 years' time. Now, don't, please don't come at me on this. This is just something that I'm actually. It's a permutation that you could have. I'm not advocating that that's what you do. Alternatively, if that takes you to the promised land of the NFC Championship game next year, you know, then we're in an issue where you've got Trey Lance. What do you do with him? You can offload him. There will be some team who's taking him because look at Mitch Trubisky's been cut by the Steelers. He's already signed a deal with the Bills.
Yeah.
So there are teams that are wanting quarterbacks and not wanting to go and trade stupid number of picks to go up to 1, 2, or 3 to get May, or Daniels or Williams, you know. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, you know, on the one side, you know, we're laughing about the, you know, saying, oh, you know, like you just did there, Paul, saying drafting in the first round. There's some Cowboys fans that would advocate for that, and they have a strong argument. You kind of have to listen to what they're saying on that one. There's a, you know, what they're saying isn't completely out of the realm of insanity. It's more of there's bigger fish to fry, I think, is why we laugh at that thought. But when you look that they're thinking of shipping Trey Lance off, the Dak Prescott, that, you know, they haven't got anything done. I think the tell at this stage about what they're going to do with Dak Prescott and what goes on will show in the draft. I think that, you know, if there's no deal that's been done, and, you know, we've seen this before, guys, right? Where they drag their heels. The very reason we're right here, right now, at this stage, is because they dragged their heels several seasons ago. Went, oh, yeah, we don't know if we should give Dak a long-term contract. Franchise tagged him. And then after they franchise tagged him, the market inflated wildly because there was all those big run of contracts coming through. They then staggered around waiting and waiting. That very year, other contracts got done from other quarterbacks. And now we're right here at this stage again. And like, this is the problem. That if they had just bitten the bullet and did what they needed to do at the very start, we wouldn't have to be in a sort of a this sort of predicament. So now you're looking at this and go and wondering what they're going to do, because like the to me, the thoughts are going to be, are they going to sort of juggle around with things? And they, you know, like, I mean, we could talk about Dorrance Armstrong. Like, do they just to like do stuff like, oh, we'll get Dorrance Armstrong done and we'll get that contract done? And then you're wondering, like, what are you doing with Dak Prescott? That's still on the table. That's still waiting to be done. Then it gets in past the post draft and they're still waiting for it to be done. And then it gets done. You're kind of like, well, what were you waiting for? What was all this time? Like, all you've done is added money to the contract by just like putting your hands in your pockets and your head in the sand. So I think the draft is going to be the tell for me. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there will be teams that will pay odds to go up and try and pick up one of these guys, and then after that, again, you know, any quarterback that's sitting there at the moment or it has a potential to sign with another team or get traded, then things will happen there as well. So,
Yeah.
but I mean, what quarterbacks have you got being renegotiated this year? There is somebody that you want to basically get him signed now because, you know, as we were saying last week, at the moment, Burrow and Jackson and all that, they signed last year for it's almost 55 million last year. So you're talking to go up from that, you're talking 56, 57, maybe
Yeah.
even 60. So, and
Yeah,
that's not actually meaning that, yeah.
Kirk Cousins is about to be a free agent.
Kirk
Yeah,
Cousins, he's working on a deal.
and that's the big rumor with the whole Rich Eisen talk was a thing about going for Trey Lance because he's from like Minnesota, etc. The
Yeah,
thing
yeah.
about why not get him? He would be the great fit for Minnesota. He could be that guy, and we could get like if they're in desperate need of a quarterback, we could probably get more than a fourth round. Like, we could probably get like a fourth and a seventh or something like that, because they're more in need for it, if that's what, if they're really wanting them. So, yeah.
Yeah. The issue I've got is just that we have seen with this Cowboys front office their policy on hanging around and not doing things when they need to, that there's a deadline and they should have done it by then. Yeah. And skipping past it, and then that coming and turning around and biting them in the ass, which is what it's doing right now. I would have said, like, say a month ago, it needed to be done. But then you hear comments about Jerry saying, oh, yeah, we've got nothing set in stone right now. And you just kind of like going, it baffles the mind. Like, what is the plan? And I had a question in one of the mailbags on Blogging the Boys, and they asked this question about, you know, what you do. I said, it doesn't matter if you decide to sign Dak to a long-term contract, or if you decide to ride this year out and go another way. But either way, you have to be, funny word, yeah? But you have to be all in on whatever choice you make. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you decide to extend that, right, well, that's it. That's going to be your Cowboys quarterback for the rest of his career, or until injury, or he decides to retire. If you decide you just want to ride this year out and then look to draft another quarterback, then you need to start thinking about how you're going up to go and get a quarterback. So what I'm saying is, whatever the plan is, you need to be making that plan now and not going half-baked and not halfway through the process doing a heel turn and going, oh, maybe we should change our mind on this. This wasn't a good idea after all.
Yeah. A bit like the receiver by committee a couple of years ago that prompted us to go and expend a first round pick and bring in Amari Cooper in. Or
the Amari Cooper situation. It's the same thing, you know?
Yeah. Before we kind of move on, I just want to give a shout out to everybody that's actually watching on X and Twitter. We've got over 27 people watching right now. So hello to everyone on Twitter/X. So, but again, guys, if you want to make any comments on the show, feel free to jump onto the YouTube channel and just leave a comment if you have any questions, or give your opinions on the whole situation with Dak and whole situation with Parsons. Feel free to join in the conversation. That's what it's here for.
I will say one thing that's quite ironic is, and I know this for a fact, is right live right now as well, the UK Giants. Yeah, I know that for a fact.
I need to give a wee shout out though to Chris though. You know Chris Lee, our good friend.
Oh
Chris.
Yeah.
He's doing a brand new show right now with him. I can't remember the Giants fan's name, but they do always have a good on and off chemistry. They take the mickey out each other. And also, you're seeing Big Game James now doing it with one of the Philly fans right now. So you're seeing a lot of combined forces from rival teams doing shows together now, which is great.
And you know, we'll get some more people on our show, but that's going to be more the guys from Cowboys Media and stuff. So put it this way, I was talking to Brian Broaddus this morning. Don't know what he was doing. He was like up at like 1 o'clock in the morning Central Time. I was like, what are you doing up?
Brian's crazy. I mean, you know, back in the days of TweetDeck, before it went...
TweetDeck, oh my God.
Wow.
That's going back.
I know. Well, I used to have a Brian Broaddus column, and, you know, I'd reset it every day after, you know, and it's like, posts are coming in at 10:30 our time, and it's like, you know, Jesus, what that back? And it's crazy time he's getting up, so...
Yeah. Grinding the tape.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on to the next one, guys. I want to talk about this one. What do you guys, and let us know as well at home, guys, and I'll put this up on the screen as well. What should the Cowboys do with Michael Gallup?
I'll be honest. I think we're going to have to let him try and trade him away, if I'm being honest.
I have a plan myself, which it goes down that road.
Because let's be honest, there's a lot of talented wide receivers in this draft. Like if another team is really interested in picking him up for like I don't know like a fourth or a fifth or something like that, I would take that. Then we're going to be saving money on the cap, and then we can pick up one of those other type of wide receivers that can fit this mold to be a nice proper wide out in that scenario. And
There
yeah,
we go.
I
Get
was just
me off there.
I was wondering what
Sorry.
you were I was wondering what you were doing there.
Pressed
But
the wrong heart key, mate.
yeah, I mean, but like I said though, like I've always been a fan of Michael Gallup. Such a he's, I've met the guy numerous occasions. He's a lovely guy,
Yeah.
but from the business side point of view, it just makes no sense of keeping him along in terms of his like what he's been doing in production, etc. In terms of his contract, etc., etc. It might be time to kind of move on from him.
Yeah, I think to be honest, you don't get anything out of actually trading them. You only say, again, we discussed last week,
Yeah.
trading him at the moment is exactly the same as releasing him outright right now. The only savings you actually make is by doing them as a post-June 1st cut. And that's your best bet if you're looking to get under the cap to, well, not so much get under the cap, but certainly create the space to actually sign your rookies after you drafted them. So that's probably what we're looking at. Again, it looked like he was going to, he was going to be a viable number two option, and then he's had this injury, and unfortunately, he just hasn't managed to come back from this injury. So, it'd be really interesting to know what the problem is, whether it is physical, whether it's mental, or whether it's just he's not had the he's not got the coach's aspect, because we have seen flashes from him last year. Again, he was one of the bright sparks in that Green Bay loss.
Ironically.
Earlier on in the season, he had a great game. I think it was week two or something like that. He actually had a great game. Sure, Dak went in too many times in the Chargers game, and he had all the drops. But he has. It's a bit like Alvin Harper. He's a guy that has flashes, has highlight reels, makes the brilliant catch down the sideline, but just there's no consistency with him, and that seems to have been post-injury that it's really kicked in. So,
Yeah, but ironic you talk about Alvin Hart. I was literally writing something up on him today. Yeah, quite funny. The pass on the season opener. What was it? Was it the season opener? No, that was Rocket Ishmael. So I'm doing like historical plays for the countdown. One was the Alvin Harper like 76-yard pass. A lot of fun, but yeah, I agree with you that there's two camps with Michael Gallup. There's Michael Gallup pre-ACL, where we see him being this, and I've always called him this. He's the mini Dez Bryant. So he's got this Dez Bryant sort of style about him, just not quite as elite as what Dez Bryant was. And he's physical. He's downfield. He's pretty much almost like an X or sort of downfield burner, but you see that with Michael Gallup before the injury. If you remember, they had Amari Cooper. They used that. Then the next season, then they draft, or because he falls to them, CeeDee Lamb. So then everyone's talking about, do the Cowboys become the first team to have 3 1,000-yard receivers on the roster? And because of Michael Gallup, the way he was playing, it wasn't beyond the realm of, it wasn't like it was unrealistic. It was a very real chance this was going to happen. And then obviously he gets the ACL, and we see all sorts of them. So we see his jumps are ill-timed. There seems to be a lack of chemistry between him and Dak, which is a big thing. But also, there's loads of stuff. Like when you see him on his cuts, on in routes, they're just not as sharp as what they used to be. And then the thing that really made him special, that physicality with the football, it's just not the same. And so I agree with you, Lorne, that there's one side, and then the issue we've got is that he's six in terms of rankings against the cap. Michael Gallup ranks six, and last season we got barely over 400 yards and two touchdowns on the season out of him. And bearing in mind, you already mentioned it, so that the I think it was 430 something yards. A quarter of those yards came in one game, and that was the last game of the season. And I feel you can't put all your eggs in one basket on that one game and say, right, maybe this is what we'll start getting back out now. Because I think the sample size is large enough that you've seen it over a two-year period that he just hasn't produced. And it's a shame because I'm the same as you, Paul. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a nice guy. And, I see, you know, go on.
I was just going to say, like with Gallup, like before the injury and stuff like that, he was hitting a 1,000-yard season along with Cooper at the time. Yeah. So, like, he is, like, at the time, he was more than capable. But in terms of, like, the past 2 years, he's definitely dropped down in terms of production. So, yeah, it's, and whether that's, well, pressuring him back to come back from the injury so quickly, and also with this season, you know, it's hard to say, really.
Yeah, and it'll be a shame. But, you know, going to the draft, right? So think about this, right? So I'm one of our, you guys are the MVPs of the show. We always say that. And we see one historical MVP of the show, JXL7. Yeah, he's here, like, in the building. Talking about Jalen Brooks. And it is true, you got Jalen Tolbert as well. You've got some undrafted free agent guys back there that are trying to work their way in that could have a chance. And there's these guys there, but do you think if they use Gallup in a trade, or like how I think it's going to go, that they trade them during the draft to try and corral something back to, you know, something like with that fourth round pick that they've lost, or perhaps in the third round? I don't think you'd get that though. But if they try and figure out something there, and then they move it on to, so they try and move it on so they can get something back with Gallup in a trade. Now that leaves a blank spot because brilliant. Yeah. So if you think, you know, You lose Michael Gallup, the downfield guy. You've got CDU, who's a little bit of both, but more of a slot guy. And then you've got Brandon Cooks, who's the outside burner, but he's obviously getting long in the tooth now. I think if they do that, I think already without Gallup going, wide receiver's a need. But I think if they trade him or he goes, it's an even bigger need. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's certainly established as a need now that we need somebody in the draft. You know, we do have potential behind us, but they're unproven. You know, again, we talked about last week, Jalen Tolbert, Jalen Brooks, you know, they're there.
You've got
Moreno Cropper and all that as well.
There
but,
you
know, Brooks and Tolbert took a step last year. Can they make another step? Or, you know, again, because you're probably not going to get much for Gallup if you did try and trade him, because this is a quite a wide field of wide receivers in this draft, especially with guys that were posting numbers over the weekend that, you know, have certainly got a lot of people going back and having a look at their tape and what have you. There are... Yeah. Quite a good option in the draft as well. So,
yeah.
You know, it's much like we talk about the running backs. The amount of running backs that are hitting free agency this year, combined with the number of running backs that, while they're not first or second round picks, you know, there is quality in the third round onwards that, you know, there's quite a few guys that could actually handle the load for a team this year coming out of the draft as well. So
what's going to be crazy, Lorne, is that I would say the majority of all these teams are always going to go for the cheaper option by going for the draft picks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as cynical as that sounds, though, that is good business.
Yeah. It's the nature of the NFL.
Exactly. Yeah.
You look at what the Bills have done this week. The Bills have cleared house on a lot of guys because they're obviously, you know, yeah, they'll bring people in during free agency, but they've cleared cap rooms so that they can bring guys in like that. But they'll also have draft picks that they can pick up viable options, and they know that, you know, they can replace these guys with cheaper money.
All right, let's move to the next guy, right? Because I mean, I think we could talk forever on the Michael Gallup situation, because it really is very polarizing when you think about it, about what that is going to do to the offense, especially what that can do to CeeDee Lamb, certainly. Let's talk about Tony Pollard, guys, because he's obviously hit the news, and Joe has brought the comment up about that he made comments publicly that he's willing. So, they're going to test the free market. They obviously are. But Pollard is willing to stay in Dallas for less. I've gone and checked the market value. He's just around about hovering around the $6/$7 million per. If we say he takes a team-friendly deal, how far down does that take him? Like, what, if we say he's like four and a half at most, would you guys be willing to do that? But knowing that if we keep him, the plan has to be we still draft.
I think it'll probably be like a two-year contract or something like that, if that's the case.
Yeah. JSL's got hit in my thoughts straight away. Keep him and draft a big back.
Yeah.
But go on, carry on, Paul.
I mean, I wouldn't give Tony a 4-year deal or anything like that, like, because that could just have some major implications go further down the line when it comes to the cap and stuff like that. So for me, it'd just be like a standard 2-year deal to friendly team deal type of thing. Talking about like maybe $5 to $5.5 million a year. So that's like maximum $11 million for those 2 years. So that's how I would probably look at it. That would make sense. And that you're kind of saying there might get a bigger running back to kind of take on that more heavy, like, shift in terms of taking on the hits and stuff like that, and let Pollard just like clean up shop essentially. Because we all know that Pollard is not your typical like starting running back. Like, do we think giving Pollard that franchise tag was a bad idea? Probably in a way, but we had no choice at the matter.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would keep him. I'd go lower. I'd say about $4 million or so. I'd offer him a contract now. Say this, and I think Nate Newton actually mentioned this yesterday, that you offer him a contract, you say this contract's good for 2 weeks, but go out there, see what's available for the first 2 weeks, because normally by that point in time, that, you know, all the big money has been spent in those first 2 weeks. If you're still on the market, you've then got 48 hours to take that deal, or we re-sign somebody else, or we renegotiate with you. Offer him that. But I think we do need to put resources into the draft as well at some point, and draft a big guy to hold him off as well, and at least compete with guys like Dowdle and Malik Davis.
Dowdle's up for contract as well, is he not?
He is as well, but I mean, obviously you could offer him probably veteran minimum or whatever, and you bring him back relatively easy. He didn't do enough last year. Again, especially when you've got Josh Jacobs, King Henry, you've got Eckler, you've got Saquon Barkley and everything like that. All of these guys coming out all at the one time, it's going to dilute the market. I don't think anybody's going to get the megabucks deal that you saw with Zeke Elliott. He's on the market as well this year. Zeke's back on the market, so...
That's an odd question. Yeah. Would you bring him back for one more year?
If the money's right, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, like that, with Zeke, I mean, if you want to go down that talk of Zeke, I would say Zeke with the New England Patriots at the start of the season, wasn't the same as Zeke that ended the season. Like, well, he started the season very slow, but as the season got on, he looked more and more of classic Zeke.
Well, that's kind of expected, though, mate. You're in a new system. You're under new coaches.
Injury.
I guess with it, and I don't even if I know if they had the injury or not, but the point is, it's like you're going into a brand new system, brand new environment. Everything is new to you. It's going to take you time to readapt and develop under that system. So, and you saw it game after game after game going up to the end of the season. He was getting more snaps. He was getting more. He was becoming more of a actual weapon for New England at the end of the season. So,
yeah. I mean, like, the thing I'll say about Tony, what we've seen with Pollard last season, and I mentioned this already once before, is that I think what we've seen last season is we got to witness what the limitations of his game were. We've seen where he's limited, and he's most certainly limited. And for people to say that Tony isn't a good running back or he's not worthy of staying, is you say, well, go back and look at when he was the lightning to Zeke's thunder. We all thought he was fantastic. His yards after contact. I mean, like, the immediate thing when I think of Tony Pollard's best game is the San Francisco 49ers game, where he just breaks off and he's dancing in between three defenders and he's gone and he's to the house. Yep. Huge play. That's the Tony Pollard that we can get, but he's limited. He's not a guy you can just send out on every down.
Yeah.
Go on, Paul.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's much of an inside run guy to take on linebackers, essentially. Like running for the A gaps and stuff like that. He's definitely more of an outside run type of guy, and you can throw screens at him type of running back. He's more elusive than rather being that type of power style running back that you would get, like your Derrick Henry, your Zeke's. What guys that would actually lay down the gauntlet pretty much. Like, you know, so yeah, there is limitations, and it can't be ignored. Yeah, he may have had a 1,000-yard season, and that some games he really exploded, some games he didn't. So he was kind of somewhat hot and cold, but there were some really good plays out there. I think it was it the Chargers or Rams? Who was it we played last year again? Like, he made one big massive play and basically went for like 60-plus yards.
Oh, that was the Chargers game. I think
there
was the busted pass that I think it got tipped to the line
early in the game.
Pollard caught it and took it down to about the 5-yard line or something like that. So,
but therein lies Tony Pollard's problem. See, is that, like you say, I think he can hit the A gaps and he can go straight. He can go straight downhill if you want him to, just not consistently because of how he's built, but. His pass blocking is good. His pass blocking is fine. And I think he's come a long way from what he was like from college, and because he played more of a sort of a dual role as a running back and a wide receiver. Yeah. But you've seen him get better. I think what it lacked last season with Tony Pollard, you mentioned explosive plays, but the explosive plays in general across the season was lacking because you look at the plays and the average yards per carry, they're all okay, and he's got good touchdown numbers and all the rest of it. But if you go down the rankings and you look at plays of 10 yards or more, you go down the list and you go out, you know, so he's not even in the top 32. I think he ranked something like 46 or something in numbers of 10 yards or more. So that's what it was lacking. And you've got to, in the NFL, you've got to have those explosive plays. They've got to happen, because if they don't, then you get into this rut. And we all know that the best way for a running back to be used is, like, you know, on these plays where it's like second and four, second and third. Like, that is it. That's the moment where they can get these explosive plays. But because he was struggling to get these plays, or the offense was in general, on those early downs, it just struggled and it became a problem for Tony Pollard. And I mean, like, the other one, we've seen it a number of times last season. The biggest problem, I think, was when we were in the red zone. And I know there's the red zone talk, but what I'm talking about more specifically is, and you'll know exactly where I'm going here, is like when it's like, you know, like they want to put Tony Pollard on a goal plunge. Yeah. And he just cut his first and five, or with third and five, I think it was. And they gave him the ball, handed it off, and he just couldn't get it in. He's just like, oh, no. That's not what Tony Pollard can do. That was the trouble right there. And that's why you need to, if you keep Zeke, you still need the bigger back. For definite. Yeah. All right, let's get, have you got anything more on Pollard? Are you about to say something there, Mr. Paul? Yes?
No, I'm good.
All right, so let's hit the last one then. Tyron Smith. How do we think about the idea of life without Smith, and what do we do in the draft if he does move on?
Okay, so I've had a wee thought about this, right? Right, so obviously it's going to be a big gap to fill, but I'm confident with Tyler Smith shifting to left tackle. I'm confident with that. And I saw people were saying there is a couple of right tackles in this draft. We might actually go in that route, and there could be the potential of shifting Steele back into guard again. That's how I'm kind of, not projecting, but that's just kind of way I would see it kind of going in a way. But I'm probably right. I'm probably well off in my estimation on this, but is it, I'm sure, I can't remember, is it Morgan? The left tackle.
Jordan Morgan.
That's the one. He plays right tackle, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes. So that's the guy. So there's been, and was he part of one of the interviews, the informal interviews?
He was, yeah. He was a former.
Okay. Right. So So that could be one of the names that could be at our draft pick in the very first round is Jordan Morgan. That could be it.
I mean, it's possible if you feel that that's your guy. I mean, you're going to have some people saying, oh, first round is way too high for Morgan. But if that's your guy and you feel,
I mean,
don't
get me wrong, there's this really good offensive lineman this year that you've got Graham Barton, you've got my guy, Johnson Powers Jackson from Oregon. Like those two guys are for me my favorites in this draft. I know there's some other. Yeah. There's Mims from Georgia, the big guy from there. Like, yeah, I thought he had a really good combine. I thought for a guy his size, that ran like a 5.07.
That was 5.07. Good memory.
Yep. So, like, for a guy his size who's 6'7", 340-odd pounds, can run 5 seconds like that. So, very impressive. Could be another option, but I just don't want to be going down the route if we were drafting a left tackle and we might be putting him in a different position again. I hate that idea.
Wait, I can change your persuasion. I spoke about this Tuesday and I've written an article on it that you don't. So people don't like the idea of, like, say with Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, that he's a pure right tackle. The Cowboys drafting him. Now, it's already been written once. It was by Daniel Jeremiah, and he wrote an article saying you draft Tyler Guyton, you put him in at right tackle, and off we go. And people are like, well, right tackle? Now, I don't mind the idea of drafting a right tackle, bearing in mind Guyton is playing right tackle on an offense that has a left-handed quarterback, so he's your blindside blocker, right? Mm-hmm. He does have experience playing left tackle, but we know the Cowboys, and I give them very much the benefit of the doubt when it comes to especially first-round offensive linemen, because they've just, like, proven us wrong so many times. When we've
time and over.
Yeah. So I give them the benefit of the doubt. I also give them the benefit of the doubt of drafting a right tackle and putting them at left tackle, because that was Tyron Smith.
Yep.
Tyron Smith was a right tackle.
But again, Tyron Smith had played a bit of left tackle in college as well.
Right.
I wouldn't particularly want somebody who has solely been right-hand-sided in college, played, you know, over 1,000 snaps in college at right tackle, and expect him to be able to change across the left tackle. You know, similarly, yeah, you could draft a right tackle, maybe move Tyron Steele across the left tackle, because obviously he functioned well that year that Tyron Smith was out, you know, and he was sort of the flip-flopping between left and right. I think, to be honest, and again, I've said this the last couple of weeks, I think you're probably keeping Tyler Smith as a guard, especially if you want that mauling guard, then you play him there, and that gives you a bit of strength if you've got a rookie coming in at centre as well, or you've got Brock Hoffman at the moment, who's probably, if the season started tomorrow, Brock Hoffman's probably your starting centre.
I
So,
don't, do you know what, as well, alone? I don't mind that so much because I think, as much as what Brock Hoffman is, people will say, oh God, another UDFA on the line. Like, I think Brock Hoffman is the type of, he would be able to play center on this offensive line, and he's not going to blow your mind. He's not, you're not going to be sitting there watching, like, oh my God. But I think he's going to be able to do enough to not kill the offense.
yeah, he's gonna do his job to the point where when it's not costing us severely.
Yeah,
And
Definitely.
I've seen somewhere as well where they're even toying with having Tyler Bass taking center snaps as well. So, Tyler Bass was functional this year as well, stepping in the interior. So
To me, he should be our left guard going forward, I think.
yeah, but I mean, it all depends obviously on how this coaching staff approach this and what is available. Come 24th pick, 28th pick. If you see one of the drafts where we're trading down to pick up a fourth rounder or whatever, so again, it's all very well saying it now, but you've got four or five weeks of free agency. You've got as soon as the clock starts, you've got to see how the chips fall to you at 24 as well. So, but and I mean, again, I think, as I say, I think Tyler Smith is better as a guard. That he was great as a tackle the first year. I think there's a reason why the Solari and all that didn't move him last year, in and out of position. He obviously was a second team All Pro, went to the Pro Bowl last year as well. I think you've probably got your interior lineman there.
And that's my argument. I'm with you there, Lorne. Is that last season they had a chance, right? They had the likes of Chuma Edoga, and we've seen, like, various other people play at left tackle when we know how good Tyler Smith is at playing left tackle. He is good at it. He really, not last season, the season before, we've seen him rookie year. He's back and forth on that left-hand side, doesn't skip a beat. Then all of a sudden, 2023, there's a gap. Tyron Smith goes down predictably, and they don't kick Tyler out ever, Tyler Smith. They never move him out. They keep him at guard the entire season. And I'm thinking to myself, if he's going to be your left tackle for the future, now is your chance. Now put him in. Adoga can play guard. Totally
See,
fine.
yeah, that's the point I was going to make. It's like Adoga is not a tackle; he is a pure guard. So why couldn't we just swap those two guys around about? That would have been th make things a hell of a lot easier.
And especially, this, Paul. Left tackle is far more important than left guard.
Absolutely, 100%. Especially when it comes to the pass rush. Exactly.
Edoga was a tackle with the Jets, and that's why they probably went that aspect. Now, if you go by Brian Broaddus when he was at training camp, he had Edoga down as being a guard or being that position flex that you talk about. The whole thing with Tyron Smith, and we need to address this, is obviously great guy, given us a lot of service over 13 years. We'd love to have him back, but the deal that he did last year, where he took a pay cut, basically went down to the base minimum of $3 million, and was getting basically anything over
Incentives.
50, incentives, anything over 50%, because he actually ended up playing 14 games, 13, 14 games last year. You can't do the same this year because basically, you have what's known as likely to be earned incentives,
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
anything that's likely to be earned, which is basically because he played 13 games last year,
Go
13
for it.
games is your likely to be earned.
Yeah.
So in, if you have that escalator in, that that escalator up to 13 games counts, and then anything that you build on top of that, it is actually incentives that doesn't count against the cap. So if you were offering him $1 million a game that he plays, you're already talking that's 13 million. You can't do that, and that's why, unfortunately, we've had to say, go off and see what you can get.
Yeah.
I always remember Larry Allen going off and playing with the 49ers for that last year. There's other great guys that played for the Cowboys and then gone off, and Tony Dorsett
The
always said,
49ers.
Tony Dorsett always said he should never have gone to the Broncos. I'm sure Emmett Smith, yeah, great, he padded out his career, but I'm sure Emmett Smith wishes he'd never gone there.
Ken Norton
DeMarcus,
went to the dark side.
yep.
I mean, kind of like what you guys have just kind of mentioned, I just look at what Joe just mentioned there. It's like left tackle is very important because obviously we're talking about like sort of blind side here
Yeah, of
for
course.
Dak. So, I mean, it could be my guy, Graham Barton. Like, it could be that guy we might get in the first round. Who knows? It could be a left tackle. I mean, I think what it's really safe to say is the first round or the second round has got to be an offensive lineman in this draft.
Right.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be.
And if you go on my Twitter poll, have a look. I've done a two round mock and I've given you option A and option B. Both contain offensive linemen that will be available either in the first. So the first one is an offensive lineman in the first round, and the second one is an offensive lineman in the second round. And you just get to see basically how the draft will look if you go one way or the other, and you just make a predetermined idea of what that would look like. And I 100% agree that either way, the first, so those two picks, whatever they decide to do, needs to be offensive linemen. I will say this though, I think it's better if they draft the offensive lineman early in the draft because I think in the first round there isn't just more options available to you; they're good options, but also, if you go in with the thought of, because they love to do this whole BPA thing in the first round, but if they go with offensive linemen in the first round and they go with that mindset and go, right, what's available to us when we get to our pick? And if there's a batch of them, a bunch, I'm trade down then. Trade down. You make a trade, you go down, you corral so you have a bit more freedom and a bit more movement in day two, or you utilize that for other picks later in the draft. And you still get your offensive lineman in the first round.
I'm glad that you still mentioned the first round there because I'd rather still get like use that first round option, like we get that fifth year option.
Fifth year option, yeah.
Like that's the vital key here because if we do get an offensive lineman that turns out to be really good, then we want to get him for that fifth year option.
All right, then. Now hit me with this, then. Give you the last question before we go, then, guys. If you're taking an offensive lineman in the first round, that person is, and I'll start with you, Paul, because I think I already know the answer. That person is.
It just depends who's available, obviously.
Oh, come on. Just give me a name. Just give me a name. Who you want?
Dream scenario would be Powers, like Jackson Powers.
Jackson Powers.
Yeah, but if he's not there, then it's Graham Barton for me from Duke.
I like that. Got a bit of position flex with Barton, so you can play center or guard. So.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Jackson Powers Johnson, and I hate to say this. With the whole thing with Jason Kelce now retired, I think that's going to be a hotbed for the Philadelphia Eagles now. I think they'll be looking to get his replacement. And what more to do when you've got probably one of the best centers to come out in the league in the most recent years?
And certainly in the last half decade, agreed.
Yeah, he's definitely better than Linderbaum, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's still, up for debate. Give him chance, I say. You never know. You never know. But go on, answer the question then, Lorne, and at home, give me your answers, and then we're going to get out of here.
Well, again, I'd be happy with JPJ. If not, the tackle I quite like, and there's JXL mentioning him as well, Mims.
Mims, yeah.
if you miss out on Jackson Powers Johnson and Mims, the other centre likes Frazier, is it, from...
Yeah, you got Frazier, and you've also got Cedric Van Praan as well.
Yeah, I think Cedric Van Praan you probably get in the second round, second Definitely. Or third round. So,
yeah.
What about you, Mike?
I like all those names. I like also JC Latham. There's another name I quite like, Troy Fortano, who I'm doing at the moment.
And he was a guy that got an informal interview as well, correct?
He got a formal with the Cowboys, yeah. I mean, you've got Talisi Fauaga, but I think he's going to go before the Cowboys get the draft. So it's it's not unrealistic, because this is the draft and anything can happen. I did a scout report on Blogging the Boys of Cooper DeJean, the cornerback from Iowa, and all I got was, he's not getting drafted by the Cowboys. He's gone. And I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking, well, that was the same reason why I never did a scouting report on CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. What you need is the Cowboys doctors to leak a few things that, you know, he's going to need a bit of surgery on his wrist or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Get the valuation down.
Yep.
I think the best bit is listen to Brian Broaddus a couple of days out from the draft.
Yeah.
Because he's normally spot on. Because remember the day where when LVE got drafted, I was like, Leighton Van Der Esch, really? Linebacker?
What's funny is hindsight on that one tells you that was in the cards.
Yeah.
You know, the 30 visits are the big one. You know, you got to watch them. And Dallas Day as well, because we've got all that coming up, which we will talk about, guys, as we move forward. Me and Paul will be on the World's Team on Blogging the Boys. That will be out over the weekend. So,
that'll be over the weekend. Yep. Be sure to go and give that a like and subscribe on Blogging the Boys Network. And also give us a wee like on YouTube. If you haven't followed us on Twitter next, give us a wee follow. Obviously, this is on the UK Cowboys podcast channel, but we've got the UK Cowboys fans' actual Twitter account as well. But yeah, be sure to give us a wee like and a wee follow. That would be great. And thank you for everyone that's been watching. Currently 74 people on X, and I think we've got like over 80 people watching overall. So big thank you.
YouTube and all the rest of it. Yeah. Hey, Paul, the MVPs. That's all you've got to say.
That's it, yeah. Everyone here is watching. This is the MVPs, that's it.
MVPs of the show. All right, then. Hit me with it, Lorne, and we're going to get out of here.
Okay, 2024 is fast approaching. The schedule will be out in a couple of months. It's time to start thinking about your game tickets, going to a game as well. If you are, book up with Cowboys Experience for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets. Get to meet guys like Micah Parsons, Drew Pearson, Wanley Thomas, Tyler Smith. You know, they'll work with you. You come in, you tell them when you're coming in, they'll design the package for you, and you will have a fantastic time. Use the promo code UK Cowboys, and you'll get some free stuff as well.
That's right, baby. All right, so we will be back on Tuesday. We're going to do a live mock draft. Tune in on that. Yeah, that's 9 p.m. UK time. 3 p.m. Central, so make sure to join us there, and we will be back on another draft show next week, where we hopefully will get you a nice special guest on with us from all the way from Cowboys media team. So I'm working on it. So we'll get that dude back on. But as always, I started with the first word of the show, so these guys finish with the last word. Stay safe, guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself, and then see you next week.
As always, for me, Dallas forever, Philly forever. Have a good one, folks.